You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
There were three little boys. They all went to public school. This is a smaller school, so they could talk about the R word, religion. And so the teacher asked them one day, "Hey, I want y'all to bring something to school that represents your church." I thought that was pretty cool. So the little Catholic kid brought Catholic thing across. The Jewish kid brings a Star of David, and the Baptist kid brings a casserole. There are certain things we all bring with us to this building, all right? Because when we talk about America, we talk about the melting pot back in the early days. I will tell you right now, when you come to Cross Brand, we're a mixed bag of denominational Skittles, all right? We got every flavor. We profile y'all all the time. We know who the church, I can say something and I see who the Church of Christ are because they almost suck the chairs up their body. Pentecostals want to bring out the tambourines. That has happened. Really messes with the musicians when you bring a tambourine. And then the Baptist, you know, y'all just kind of sit there and usually save your chairs and put your name tag on it. I have always kidded around. I'm an equal opportunity denominational exterminator because I've just had a lot of experience with other people. And I have friends that are Catholic. I have friends that are Pentecostals. I have friends that are Baptists. I have friends that don't believe in any of that. Depending on your perspective, here's what's going to happen today. Some of you are going to be very disappointed with me. There is no way a pastor can do a topic like this and you agree with me 100%. The topic on demons, I'll just tell you this, goes way farther than you just opening the Bible and reading it. It even goes back to whether or not you are Arminian or Calvinist or you are a cessationist or you are a continuist. And all those are big words. They just simply mean really a lot about your perspective on demons. And the war, the right now war has to do with the fact of, you know, your position in Christ. And some of you charismatics and Pentecostals, I love you. You can jump as many chairs as you want to at Cross Brand. You can try to sneak a tambourine in, but Chad's going to tackle you. I can just tell you right now, he's going to tackle you. You'll find maybe I'm a little soft with your theology. But I tell you this, you go to my office, I've got every kind of book on demons you can imagine. And I'm not really one of these guys that like to talk about this. I may be making this up, Paul, just kind of seems like I put a target on my family and myself and the ministry. But at the same time, here's my thing. Before I get you started today, there is a war. There's two words in Ephesians that should confirm that to you. When you go to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul ain't telling you to wrestle around physically with a demon or somebody, you know, that you think is demon-possessed like your mother-in-law. No more excuses there. He uses two words. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Strengthened by who? The Lord. You guys, we got to put on the full armor of God. This is something that's got to be done every day. So when I harp on you about reading the Bible, when I harp about resisting the devil in Christ, when I harp on you about power of prayer, both defensive and offensive prayers, this happens daily, all right? You don't go to battle unprotected. I've never been in a battle, but you combat guys right here know the importance of pre-readiness. Am I right or am I just way off? Or you guys just show up on a tank and go, "Hello." I don't think you did. And we have representatives from just about every war you could imagine right now, and they understand the power in being ready. And that's the problem with Christians. You wake up one day and you're oppressed by a demon. You can visibly see it in your kid, but you're not prepared. You go to Scripture after the catastrophe. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. So we're going to have to stand against the schemes of the devil. Look at this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Fighting demons in your life is like fighting COVID. You can't see it. You can't see a common cold. Guys, we can't see those. We know they're real. Demonic influence, demonic attacks are real. Stand. It's a struggle. And you got all that list of the organizational hierarchy, what we believe is the hierarchy of spiritual forces of darkness. Now, I'm going to have to Ricky Bobby some of this today. So it's, you know what happens when I do that? You have to actually go check the rest of it on gotquestions.org. You have to go home and do homework. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm telling the truth. Well, a little bit, but I'm telling the truth. Check me out on some of this stuff. Now, there's two things that I want to talk to you about in general today, but you've got to realize this in everything I say. Is everybody ready? Everybody paying attention? Children? I'm talking about you having what you feel like is oppression in your life. Go back and listen. You can't be possessed. Jesus don't share. All right? Jesus don't share. So you're beyond possession. Are there others that might be in America, especially in foreign countries? Absolutely. Demonic possession is real. Can there be some overlaps in the symptoms of oppression and possession? Absolutely. But as a believer, heavily influenced, but never taken over, you're not going to be held hostage completely. And we see that because demonic, somebody that's truly possessed, I mean, it is a completely unnatural occurrence where their bodies, their souls, their minds are taken over. All right. I am talking about you as a believer. How do you combat the struggle with the demonic? That's what I'm talking about today. Now, will this help some of your fellow believers that you can help them with it? Absolutely. But I'm not talking about somebody that is completely possessed by Satan. I'm talking about you. Even though some of the statements I made today is going to clear up a few things, I hope. General observations, number one, there's three of them. Before I get started, I got you. You got to understand that everything in your life, when you're blaming it on demons, whether it is or not, is father filtered. Every bad thing in your life is father filtered. If you feel like you're just under so much duress from the demonic world, understand that they possibly didn't even just pick you. Got to go back to Job. Job, unless you're from Bullard and it's Job. So in Job chapter 1, we see the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Whose idea was it to attack Job? God's. The Father. Now, Satan was ready, just like he was Peter, just like he was Judas, and just like he is you. And we'll see why he kind of likes to pick on some of you. Number two, and this is going to disappoint some of you, I am so sorry, because all week you blamed every flat tire. You blamed bee stings. Used to, at Crossbrand, every time I couldn't get my mic to work, I blamed Satan. Satan don't need your help. Look, I did it. It was awesome. I now know what these astronauts feel like, because 2 weeks ago, I stood my skid steer up straight in the air. So after it went back down and I changed my clothes, Michael Malone says, when you get on one of those deals, you need to back up it. You don't drive straight up. Nobody told me that. Dadgum John Deere, it wasn't in the manual. I didn't read the manual. I know how to stop it and turn it. Things like a cutting horse, man. Don't get any ideas, honey. I'm not going to be doing it like on the TikTok videos. Them guys spinning it around on one side in the office. I stood mine up. But you know what? I didn't immediately try to cast the demons out of my skid steer. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, if I understand this correctly, there is never a time a demon attaches itself to an inanimate object. That's what I came up with this week. Number three, though, so we got a Baptist sitting across from a hyper-Pentecostal, or a Church of Christ, or a Methodist sitting across from a whatever. you're going to disagree on this. I can assure you, you're going to disagree on this. Every believer needs to rely on Scripture rather than experience for the primary source of information regarding spiritual warfare. There are ministries now that call themselves deliverance ministries. I don't understand. You know what I don't understand? I'm not saying you can't be a deliverance person. I think they need to change the name, because most deliverance ministries do not focus on what? The gospel. That's the most important thing in life, guys, is 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again on the third day. That is the main thing. Whoever you're sitting across the table, if y'all can't agree on that, there is a real problem. What you think about demons is way, way secondary compared to the ultimate plan of salvation. All right? But I will tell you, in these many of these so-called deliverance ministries, I watch them all the time because I know I'm being ugly. I can't help it. They're fun to watch. It's like watching Star Wars, because a lot of the deliverance ministers use sound effects. I watched one guy with an invisible Jesus sword. And as the lady came down, needed the demons cast out of her, and he was doing like this, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm thinking, what would the Apostle Paul do with that mess? But they believe what they're doing is right, and I would definitely fail to agree with them. I will tell you that nothing that has to do with demons is like the movies or these so-called deliverance ministries. John MacArthur says one time, God's word must be our only guide for all that we believe and practice. Yet many of you come from denominations or backgrounds where you rely solely on experience and not Scripture. You say, well, I saw it happen. That's fine. Does what you saw happen line up with Scripture? I was really sleepy coming back from Oklahoma one night, and I had about 18 Red Bulls when I didn't know they were bad for you. I used to put them in my coffee instead of water. I'm kidding. Thought about it. But I'm driving home, and I had a great experience. I looked over at one point on the Indian Nation toll pike, and there was a Hereford Bull sitting in my passenger seat. I experienced it. Is it real? No. You know, the only people that actually cast out demons in the New Testament, this may rock some of your worlds, that had the power to cast them out was Jesus, the 70, the apostles, Philip, and Paul. And even Paul, there was a point there where it stopped. The farther you get, or the closer you get to the book of Revelation, you will find there's less mention of spiritual, of casting out demons, and there's a lot more mentioned about how to resist demons. So how are we going to deal with them? I'm talking about you. You personally. I'm not talking about you go down to the Walmart. Look, everybody's demon-possessed at the Walmart. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you dealing with this oppression in your life where there is an inordinate amount of pressure for you to disobey. You are consumed by hate. You're consumed by rage. You're consumed by an addiction. And it is temptation on steroids. He's messing with me this morning. Matt sent me a text, first song, praying for you. I said, do it again. Got my elders this morning, went in there, my chest all tight. Having a near anxiety attack. I ain't got no reason to have no anxiety attack. I got the perfect job. Look at y'all. Complete normal people. Very wealthy. You give all the time. And none of you ever get your feelings hurt. No, I love my job. It's probably the topic. A little tense this morning. Got Roy Lynn in there. And you know what? Neither Matt nor Roy made any sounds. Let me give you five or six things. I'll do it as quick as I can. Number one, you ready? Make sure you're saved. I had a huge problem up until I was 19 at dealing with temptation. And then when I got saved, yes, I still faced temptation, but there was a greater sense of God's presence in my life to help me with that. I can't dissect every bit in Ephesians 6. I wish I could. But I will tell you, in the book of Ephesians, this is Paul's recipe for dealing with demonic pressure in your life. And he uses an analogy, a war, a soldier analogy, but ultimately he said, take the helmet of salvation. And I rely on a lot of smart men. And everything that I read about this is one thing. It can be confusing. The helmet of salvation is assurance that when you go into battle, that you are saved. Can you imagine going into battle not knowing which team you're on? And I tell you what, I think one of Satan's biggest and his minions, the way they mess with a lot is through your salvation experience. If they can convince you you're not saved or to wake up every morning and doubt your salvation, they're going to wreak havoc on you during the day. Know that you're saved. Jesus doesn't share. If there's any question in your mind of whether or not you have come to faith, nail that down. Number two, remove opportunities for demons to thrive. Remove opportunities for demons to thrive. And again, I got every book from the hyper Pentecostal books to the really, really low-toned Baptist guys. And everyone agrees that one of the biggest reasons many of us get in a bind and we're constantly being oppressed and we're constantly being driven towards an unchrist-like lifestyle, same reason the Ephesians were. Paul said, don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity. And guys, y'all, every chihuahua in the world should be the learning point here. They're all demonic. And as long as they're sitting in mama's lap, they're fine. Right, Sherry? But when you walk up and go, what a sweet... And you gave them the opportunity. If you will just assume that they're bigger than any Rottweiler in attitude. And although they cannot rip you apart immediately, give them a half a day, they'll eventually eat you. So Paul says, look, there are some things that you can do to not give the devil a little opportunity in your life, and that is, number one, direct unconfessed sin. If you've got an ongoing and open sin in your life that you haven't confessed, it potentially will drive you down the wrong road. Now, watch this. Case in point, Judas. Judas had a money problem. I won't read the whole thing, but in Luke chapter 22, Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, and he was one of the 12 disciples. Golly, that says a lot. The problem is you have to go back and read the backstory. Judas was the money keeper. He was the treasurer of that outfit. And you know what he had a problem with? Sticky fingers. And he was very greedy. And it shows from some of the statements he said when Jesus was ministering and people would bring things to Jesus and he'd go, well, now you can use that for better uses. He wasn't worried about that. He was a thief. And his sin that he was drawn to was money, and instead of confessing it, he just kept it, embraced it, held it tight. Look, we're all sinners. We know what we are and we know what we do. But to embrace that and settle on that is one thing. To regret it and confess it and struggle with it is what believers do. It's what we do. There's some other direct invitations, and I'm going to massacre these words. Vanessa's out back. I had to go check with her on my Spanish, and it didn't make a bit of difference. I'm still going to use gringo language. I'm still going to mess up the Spanish that I'm trying to say to you. I can't do it. And some of you are going, well, how stupid? Why would people do this? I'm telling you, we are in a world that craves spiritual attention. Do you know right now, James Emery White did some research, and if you are a Gen Zer, you are more spiritually aware than any of the other generations. You just don't know what you're craving. So a lot of Gen Zers have not chosen Christianity. They've chosen other forms of spirituality. And I'm telling you guys, when you say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, I have no idea what the heck that means. Other than I have to assume, if you're not spiritual and focused on Christ, where are you at? Satanism, direct or indirect. Here's the problem with Satanism. Many of you would never ascribe to Satanism, but many of you don't realize that there are kids living in our communities that have been under some type of satanic ritual abuse, SAR, and so it wasn't that they chose it, it's that they inherited that sinful flaw. Many people call it generational sins, whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying, Satanism is on the rise, and it is not like what you think. Did you realize now you can get a satanic coloring book for your child? Many of schools now have said, okay, we want equal religion here, so we are going to put a statue of the Satanist theme in our buildings. It's not only that, it's the indirect invitations. You're messing, and I love Mumford and Son, but I took a little journey to the other side. I come back changed. I can feel it in my bones. There's this song, and it's a great song. I know how to resist that lyric. Many of you are not like me. When I listen to a song, I immediately go to the lyrics, not the melody. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm cursed. Again, going back to James Emery White, you know, he said, we all have this soul. We all have a soul. And we're all born with a craving to know our maker. The problem is the modern day church may not be appealing enough, especially for some of you Gen Zers. So you are drawn to a more attractive, seeker-friendly environment. And oftentimes the occult, other forms, fortune telling. Do fortune tellers tell the truth? Are they all fake, like wrestlers? I loved an interview I saw one time of a late night TV host, and he accused a wrestler of being fake, and the wrestler showed him a move. They had to haul him off in a wheelchair. So is fortune telling fake? Nope. Satan wanders around like an angel of light. He does good. So if you're going to get your fortune told, numerology, tarot cards, palms read, just remember, will they get it right? They can, but there's only two sources of power on this planet. One is the Lord and one is Satan. Don't be misled. What about the other one? Ouija boards, meditation, and a lot of people. How many of you ladies do yogurt every day? I'm thinking about it. I got to get stretchy. My wife trains with a very godly woman who simply said, just be careful. And she invited her to a yoga class, and Trina said, my husband and I had a little negative experience when we went to UT Tyler in a meditation segment of our class. Anyhow, her trainer said, no, this is, there are good yoga teachers, and they base it on meditation of scripture and the goodness of God. Okay, now some of you are nodding your heads. The rest of you that are involved and somebody that's not a believer, I pray you will get out. Pay your dues and get out. Because even back in the 90s, Katrina and I were in the same class, and it was basically a new age in communication, which meant it was new age. If you don't know what new age is, look it up. It's a combination of every religion. And they put us on the ground, wanted us to do transcendental meditation in the classroom there. And I kept poking Katrina. Don't do it. We'll get an A anyhow. Just don't do it. Fake it. Close your eyes. Close your eye, Pookie. It's okay. Be careful what you're ingesting in meditation. Also common witchcraft, but and you assume a lot of these, yeah, that's not good. Pay attention, guys. Especially you guys that are under 40 and 30. Even some of your music is inviting things into your life that are terrible. And I'm the worst. You should hear some of my playlists. I don't even want the general to look at them. At times. But I'm very aware of that ability to come into my life. And the final one, or not the final one, but I mean, just think about Wicca. Do you know it's the fastest growing religion? Non-Christian religion in America. There are many, there's some public school teachers here that have stories. Kids practicing Wiccan. And although, here it is, Wiccan follows a nature-oriented belief system, it is polytheistic. Polytheistic. It involves the weather, nature. It does not involve Jesus Christ. And it is a dead end. And you go to a Wiccan funeral, there is no hope. I've been there. And you know there's some forms of religion that are terrible. This is where I had to get, I'm sorry, Vanessa, I'm fixing to massacre them. First one, and this is, again, is the white boy version of this, but Santeria. Mostly Mexican, mostly. Latin America. Santa Huerte. Shh. That is the religion of the cartels. Possession, trances, spirit guides. We don't see those so much in America, but here we go. Appreciate our online audience today. I appreciate every one of you. I was praying to the Lord Jesus that I could get done with this today. I'm so tired of talking about the minions. Don't like those guys. But when we come back, I want to give you just a basic idea of what I need to talk about. Because even last week, my 20s and 30-year-olds that meet down here after service asked me to cover some of this. But, you know, instead of let's wrestle around like we see in the movies, we don't invite them. Number three, we'll talk about this next week. We'll talk about how to resist them. Because that is mainly talked about in the epistles. We'll talk about faith as a weapon. We'll talk about prayer as a weapon, and I'm going to show you a couple of things about prayer that maybe you've not heard before, and then I'm going to talk about weaponizing Scripture. And that sounds lawfully weird, but I'm going to talk about weaponizing Scripture. Now, I want to show you, if Tammy will skip down to 1 John 4:4. This is very important. And if you're struggling right now, maybe you should memorize this. That's what I'm talking about, using Scripture as a weapon and weaponizing Scripture. Maybe you should memorize this. 1 John was all about assurance. It was the assurance book. So John says, you are from God, little children. That means you have conquered. You're saved now. You've conquered them being your opponents. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. That's us. Two things as I close. Number one, if you don't know the Lord and you're not 100% sure, invite him in for forgiveness today. You can do it from where you sit, or you can do it with some of these prayer partners. Number two is if you are a believer and you are really struggling with this, hey, let us pray for you. Battle with those guys was never meant to be necessarily one-on-one. We got to fight in a community. We got to fight in a troop, in a tribe, in a unit. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you on this hot Sunday, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, that we are not left alone. I ask this morning that you will certainly save those who need assurance, who are unsure. Be with them. Give them the strength to step out of that chair and come down front, or say right now where they're sitting, Lord Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. Forgive me and change me. And then secondly, Father, for all of us, the rest of the guys here, that struggle with intense shame. We struggle with intense addictive behaviors. Father, let's just free us. Show us how to do battle the right way. Lord, you're a good God. You're a great God. And we're just so thankful we can be part of your family. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you, church.